Today, I want to talk about joy and what we can do to keep our hearts joyful. And I want to read from the third chapter of John. Verse 29, the one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who hears comes from heaven. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things under his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. I like it when John says, therefore, this joy of mine is complete. He must increase, I must decrease. In this passage, John's disciples are upset that Jesus is baptizing and more people are going to Jesus, where John has been sort of the star of that show. I love it that John says, I must decrease. That's a difficult thing when you've been the star of the show. It's a difficult thing. But John's joy was complete in his decreasing, and that's what I want to talk about today. For our joy to be complete, we too must decrease and let Christ in us increase. I don't know anyone who wants less joy. I know I love it when I'm at joy, at peace. So let's look at this passage and digest this and see what really, according to John, can bring us joy. John uses the imagery of the bridegroom and the bride. John was the bridegroom's friend. John knew his position. I think that's such an important thing that we know our position. John never thought himself the Christ, never thought himself above Christ. He knew his position as the friend. John being the groom's friend, he's happy for the groom. He's happy that the groom is the star of this show and that he, Jesus, should be the focus. How hard could it have been for John? Honestly, I thought about that when I was writing this. How hard is it for me when I'm backing out of something? My friend Valerie's here from the cities. We were talking about that yesterday, what it's like when you back out of something and it goes on without you. It can be difficult. It can be a real challenge. And how can we do it happily? Actually, I was sharing with her, I didn't do it happily. I was on a board and it was time for me to rotate off, and it was really time for me to rotate off. The board had grown far beyond my capacity to serve, but it was still very difficult to back out of that. I'd been a part of me for so long, but John, who had been born for this, said, I must decrease. His joy was complete. John had a lot of power, but, you know, he used that power the way power is meant to be used, as a tool to get the job done. His job was to bring glory to Jesus, and he knew that. All too often, I've seen people use the power of their position for their own personal benefit. They felt good about using it, I guess. And when that happens, we cannot be joyful. Our joy comes when we know our position and we use power that comes with it appropriately. John could very easily, if he had been a different man, started fighting Jesus for power or position, but he didn't. He has backed out. In the Living Bible, verse 35 says, the Father loves this man because he is Son, and God has given him everything there is. All who trust him, God's Son, to save them have eternal life. Those who don't believe and obey him shall never see heaven, and the wrath of God remains upon them. John understood what he was doing there. The power that he had was to bring glory to the Son of God and to pave the path, as it were, for Jesus. He did not try to keep his position. And John explains why who could give up. He says, he comes from above, is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. Yes, he is. Jesus is above all. It sounds almost trite to me sometimes when I say things like that. When I chew on it, it's like everything on this earth is under his authority. That is amazing. And it's amazing that he's here for us in that and can give us joy in the midst of all this craziness that we live in. John knew who God, Jesus was God, and he gave God the best he had. And for our joy to be complete, we also need to understand who God is and to make him our focus, as did John. Every day, I have to fight, almost every day, with making God the focus, to make sure I spend time in prayer, to make sure I read my Bible, to make sure I do whatever study I'm working on at the time. And it's not always my primary focus. Sometimes I really have to fight for that. I wish I didn't. I wish I could say every day I wake up saying, wow, Lord, we're not good. I just have to make that time to sit down with the Word. And I have Bibles at different places in the house. So if I'm upstairs, there's one upstairs that I can study with. There's one in one room, one in another room. And so I know when the Lord says it's time, I just have to stop right there. Because if I don't, I'll just keep going my own way and doing whatever it was I was doing. To make Jesus increase and myself and my selfish ways decrease is not always easy. It's actually seldom easy. The enemy of God, the father of all lies, loves to get me to put myself first. And if I want my joy to be complete, I can't do that. I have to combat the evil that wants me first. And it is evil. It is the very antithesis of what Jesus taught, what he came for, why he gave himself up for us. And one of the ways that I and all of us can decrease and to allow Jesus to increase is by serving others. Jesus was such an example to us of a servant. And if we happily put others first, we will have joy. We will have our joy. And if we put ourselves first, we will not. There is no way. This last week, I was thinking about two men, one I know, one I don't know. The interesting about these men is they were roommates in college. They were both athletes. They were both really amazing men. One acknowledges publicly how much his parents encouraged him when he was growing up. He talked about that a lot, and he wrote a book. He worked hard. His family worked hard. He went to the U. He came out of poverty. You know, he made good choices. The other man, his path went a little differently. They were roommates. They were equal. The other man was a man to be admired. He was a star athlete. He had great talent. He was very bright. He got a doctor's degree. He did all these things. But it's interesting what happened. The first man pursued a career in sports, and he did very well. But he had a very hard road to hoe. He got fired publicly. He had a child commit suicide. But he always knew who God was in his life, and he kept his focus on that. I know that from his book. His name is Tony Dungy. The man that was his roommate in college, totally opposite story. He made himself his God. His second ex-wife told me that he was raised in indulgence, and when times got tough, he didn't keep his nose to the grindstone. He indulged himself. A couple years ago, he had a stroke and a heart attack from being 200 or so pounds overweight. He's lost his wife. He's lost his family. He lost both his homes. He's lost everything he ever worked for. And he's miserable. And it was just these two men had choices. And every day we have those same choices, maybe not as dramatic. We aren't star athletes. We're not a great coach. But we can still make choices. When things aren't difficult, we can keep our nose to the grindstone, and we can focus on what God would have us do and the choices we make in our heart, to indulge ourselves or to serve others. And the results daily add up huge. They add up so huge. Being joyful, choosing joy, is a choice we make every single day. We can be joyful, we can be grouchy. We can be whatever we choose. And being joyful doesn't always mean walking around with a big grin on your face. It might, and that's nice, but it means there's peace in your heart. You're good with the world regardless of what's going on around you. And I don't see joy as something we give ourselves, but more a byproduct of faith. If we honestly believe that God is in heaven, as John did, that he is above all, and we rest in that, we can find peace regardless of our circumstances. Sometimes our children make choices we don't like. Sometimes our spouse doesn't make us happy. Sometimes finances are difficult. There's a ton of reasons that we could be unhappy. But we still have choices in that. We can still find peace in the midst of difficulties. Some friends of mine, they don't live in this state, their daughter married a man they did not want her to marry. They supported her, they loved her, they were just sick watching her. Well, it turned out, as they told me, this man was a bad dude. He was seriously a mobster. He ran with the mob. Their daughter was involved in all this stuff, and they had to get her out of there, and they were worried about being, but you know what? They never lost their peace. They were so grounded in who they were in Christ, in the midst of all this fear and turmoil they could have been overwhelmed by. They kept their peace. I was really amazed when they were telling me what was going on with their daughter, that they could talk so peacefully. I mean, they were concerned, but they were not overwhelmed. And how easy it would be to let those kind of circumstances completely overwhelm us. And those people did not. And I have seen those people in other circumstances. The wife of this family has had cancer many times. And in the midst of that, they've maintained their peace because of who they are. I do the books for our clinic, and sometimes that can be overwhelming to me. Other people say, books, really? Well, for me it is. I don't know why, just how I am. So I can be all frustrated with, oh, I made another mistake. Well, or it's like, okay, Lord, I made a mistake. Help me figure this out. I can find peace in that. I can find peace in that, and I make mistakes every time I do the books. Last week I didn't send in a check to pay a bill, and they were going to turn off our phones. It's like I found it under my computer. Great. Comma. But I don't have to be, I can, and I'm pretty obsessive in my personality, get really frustrated with that stuff. But I don't have to. I have a choice in that. And I try to make those choices every day, that my circumstances do not have to dictate my joy. They do not. With God, we can have peace in every circumstance. In every circumstance. Sometimes I have to really work at finding the peace. Sometimes the circumstances seem overwhelming, and I literally march myself through the circumstances and talk to the Lord about it. Because it's like, okay, Lord, what am I going to do here? This is what's happening. I talk out loud to myself. A friend of mine who's a psychologist told me that's called self-talk, and it's a very good way to get yourself out of a circumstance. And hopefully there's nobody around, but I do. It's like, all right, you need to stop this. This is crazy. You're acting like, you don't believe there's a God. And talk myself through them. And it's amazing how helpful that can be. And I think for all of us, we can find ways that works for us to find the peace and keep the peace, regardless of the circumstances. When I turn something over to God, I'm concerned about something, I leave it with him. But if I keep going back and saying, but Lord, remember this problem, that's not really trusting in the Lord. And again, I'm pretty obsessive, and it's pretty easy for me to keep going back and fussing about whatever it is I'm fussing about that day. And I really have to work at, but it does work when I do it, saying, okay, Lord, I've given this to you. I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to sing songs in my head. I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep myself from obsessing about that point. And I can keep my peace. And sometimes the circumstances, I just, oh my goodness, how are we going to do this? Or how, I have no idea, but I can just talk to myself and say, okay, Lord, you can do it. And he does. And in the midst of whatever's going on, I can be peace. But I have to acknowledge that God is indeed God. That's the first thing, as did John. And I need to believe it with all my heart. Can he take care of it or can't he? And I believe he does. And so I have to trust in that. I have to act like it. I have to not keep taking it back. I must decrease so he can increase. And in doing that, I just turn things to him. Okay, Lord, it's in your hands. And if I believe it and I act on it by trusting, it really works. And so my prayer today for all of us, you know, our state's in a mess, our government's in a mess. You turn on the radio, you turn it back off. I don't want to hear this stuff again. We have to find our ways to find our peace. And sometimes my husband said, did you hear? I said, I don't want to hear. I can't hear. Please stop. I just can't. It just kind of makes me nuts. And so I've learned to build the boundaries that I need. And bless his heart, he just laughs and doesn't tell me whatever it is that the government did again. And so I guess the thing I want to leave you with is we can choose to be joyful. We can choose to have a joyful heart. Or we can choose else. And like those two men, one continually chose to be a servant, Tony Gungy. The other man continually chose self-indulgence. He was his own God. And he is one miserable man. And so make those choices based on what God tells us. And I tell you, it's so much better when you can walk through your day, regardless of circumstances, peaceful, or walk through your day tied up in knots. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the examples you give us in your word. And that John was your man and did exactly what he was supposed to do. Help us to be like John and do exactly as you would have us to do. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.